seeing one tonight.
You are, okay.
Yeah.
You want to say it's something?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, me and my wife gonna see one tonight.
These days you're gonna surprise them, get up, you're gonna get up.
Ew, I don't think so.
Ah, yeah.
We've had this discussion at home.
Let them work out.
See how it works.
Let them home, let them home.
We're talking one day, he says, and.
Let them home, let home be their home.
Get up and you go.
Let home be their time now, you let the home. You know, who can wipe off, nobody do.
Oh, me.
Let home be their.
Yeah.
He says it very casually, though.
I think Kevin Beal does just fine.
My wife is gonna come on and help me with this.
Oh, me, okay. Right, let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms, chapter 37, I got three or four verses that I'm gonna read. Then I'm gonna go to Romans, chapter 10. Psalms, chapter 37. We see where the psalmist David, he's speaking, and I think he's speaking really about himself. And I think this is a really, you can look at it two ways, that he's just praying for the Lord that will touch his own heart, because his heart had been broken. His heart has been now at the time that has penetrated some things in his life that he was ashamed of doing. Now I know that we all have done things, even as Christians, that we are ashamed of doing. But it says right here in verse 1, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Over here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, we see right here where is the promise to Israel, where the failure had come about. And Israel right here was at the point of no return, really. But it says in verse 1 of chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith of which we preach. Over here in Colossians chapter 1, and start reading with verse 1. And we're going to see about the desires that God has will put upon our hearts. And it says right here in verse 1, in chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brethren, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you is in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doeth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declares unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or power. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Our Father, we want to thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school hour. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for each and every one that come out today. Thank you for thy presence. We thank you, Father, for thy love for thee. And Lord, I'm so thankful, God, that you once loved us. You loved us first. Before we could even realize what the meaning of love was all about. And we pray today, Father, that you will help us. And Father, we just ask God that for that word from heaven may come down this morning and dwell it within my lips, Father, that it may go forth and the people can see and they can hear the desires upon thy heart. Father, we want to thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God's desire for his church. The word desire means you can go 10 or 15 different ways with the word desire. But today, I want to look at the word desire where men and ladies today, they desire certain things in their life. They desire certain goals that they must meet. They desire some of the things that God has spoken to them about. My desire, my personal desire as a pastor and as a preacher is that the goal that God has given me, that I must abide by him and I must search out his riches and his glory there. And not only that, that I need to have the desire for God in my heart and in my soul, that I can have the desire to look over the church, look over the flock that God has given me. Not only that, that I need to have the desire of the finances of the church. That we must stay in good standings. And we have stayed in good standings with all the individuals and all the ministries that we have here. We've stayed in good standings. But we, as a church, as a glorious body of Christ, and that's what we are, we're the body of Christ. Even though it's the church is looked at nationally, is looked at by other individuals as a building. That's what other people see, Faith Baptist Church. Why? Because they see the sign out front. But Faith Baptist Church is not the building. Faith Baptist Church is you and me. Is you and me. And we must have God's desire in our hearts to do what God has asked us to do. And each one of us have different desires. I can go and I can ask you, what is your desire for the church here, for the body of Christ here? And each one of y'all can probably give me a different answer. And all of you would probably be correct in the answer that you give. But we should not be afraid of giving out an answer, especially when it comes to God's word. We should never be afraid to proclaim the gospel. We should never be afraid to where we can lift up his name. We should never be afraid to where we can pray. And we should never be afraid to where when we go out to lunch or when we go out to a restaurant, that we will be afraid to the point that we can't bow our heads and say grace over the meal. Because it was God himself that grew the food, that provided the food. And some things that God provides in the food and nourishment of our bodies, we don't understand the way some of it comes about. But you know, you take up at Mayflower, you take the seafood, you take the flounder, you take that fish, you take that what's in the ocean there, in the salt water, that fish cannot go out here and live within the water without the salt. It has to be in the salt water to live. But let me ask you something. For that flounder, that bass, or whatever, lived in that water all them years, can be there, it can be living there in the salt water of the sea for 25, 30, 40, 50 years. But yet you come and you bring it home. You catch it and you bring it home and you prepare it. You fillet it. And you get the scales off of it and you fillet it. And when you put it in that pan and when you fry it, do you go and just take it and eat upon it? I've never eat fish before the where it did not have to be salted. It has to be salted to be any good. God has his purpose for our lives in the same way. He has a purpose for the things that he wants us to do. But God's desire is to fill each one of us with his knowledge. And how we filled with his knowledge. It says for in verse 9, it's in Colossians 1. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We must be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer. We must always continue in praying. We must always continue to talk to the Lord. Not only just talk to the Lord, but we need to talk to Jesus Christ. We need to talk to the Father. Why? Because they're all three in one. You cannot serve one without serving them all. And people don't understand why we come to church. They don't understand why that I take out and I want to be the pastor of the church and I want to be here on Sunday morning for Sunday school, Sunday morning for preaching, and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And yes, and if they have revivals, they around locally where I can go to, that I want to go to the revival. Why? Because it does something to me. It does something to my inward soul. It does nothing. It does nothing at all for the flesh. But it takes the inward body, the body of Christ, it takes all of that to bring the nourishment to me the way I can go out and fight the devil during the week. I know that I can't go one-on-one with the devil, but I have to go two-on-one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and me. If the Lord Jesus Christ, if he fights the devil, then I've got to fight the devil also. I cannot just leave it up to the Lord to fight, do my fighting. That's what a whole lot of people want to do today. They want to leave it up to the Lord to fight our battle. But we have also got to fight the battle. The Apostle Paul was constant in prayer. The Apostle Paul here wrote the book of Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. Wrote the book, the first to second Corinthians. He wrote Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Philemon, Philippi, and all of that. And I believe he even went down and wrote the book of Hebrews. I do. I will not get in an argument with nobody about it. But the writings that Hebrews have and the different sayings in the book of Hebrews, I believe it can only come from God. And it comes through the Apostle Paul. Which I know the whole Word of God comes from God the Father. And he uses over 40 different individuals to pin down the Word of God for us today. I was there at the house one day here a while back, and I was wondering myself, and I was worrying to the point that where I couldn't just remember scripture. It's not but two or three verses in the Bible that I can remember and I can quote without opening the Bible. But I got to thinking about that, and I got to praying about it. Lord, can't you help me to where I can memorize the scripture? Because I don't always have the scripture with me when I go out and speak to people. You know what he told me? He says, you don't need the scripture. You don't need the scripture to go out. You already have it. You have your testimony. That's what we need to give to people, our testimony. Not only that, he gave me all the scripture that I need right here. I can just open the book up and I can read it. And when I read it, that's when God's speaking to my heart. That's the only time that God speaks to an individual. It's when we read his precious word. You say, well, what about the times that I've been out here on the highway and I felt like it was the Lord speaking to me? Or I felt like it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It is the Lord speaking to you. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God the Father that's speaking to you. You know how he can do that? And speaking to us out here driving down the highway is because we have read the Word of God. We have read it. We know what it says. We may not, if somebody just come up out of the blue and say, what is this? Or where is this verse at? Or what's this verse really mean? Hey, don't get in. God is not a God that where he wants to get us on the spot. I don't believe I serve a God that says, I'm going to test you right now. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? No. I don't believe God's like that. I don't believe God tests us in that way. He tests our faith toward Him. Not towards something else, but towards Him. Our faith must be in Him. My faith, I have to put my faith and my trust in Him. I cannot put my faith and my trust in Faith Baptist Church. I cannot put my trust and my faith in you. And you can't put your trust and your faith in me. We all must put our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because that's the reason He went to Calvary. That's the reason He died on the old rugged cross. That's the reason He spilt each and every drop of blood that His body had. I believed if back then that they had a way to go in there and search out His blood vessels through His body that day. And go in and open Him up. Cut His chest open and open Him up. Now, I know y'all seen this on TV. Where on so many programs they're going to they'll open a body up. Do an autopsy on the body. They'll take it, they'll split it open, they'll open it up. And what do you see? You see, it's flesh. It's flesh. What color is it? Majority of it, I say 90% of it, is red. It's blood. It's what is on the flesh. But I believe that they could do the same autopsy on the Lord Jesus Christ. They could take it, split Him open, and take His chest and open it up. It'd be just as clean. It'd be just as white. You wouldn't see no speck of any kind of blood there at all. Why? Because He said He shed every drop of blood for mankind. That's a whole lot of blood. I mean, we can just take a drop of blood. So where we can take and we can pierce our finger. And we can see where that little blood just comes out right there. That little drop of blood. Each one of us could do that. Each individual that He has brought forth that He has created, that He has brought forth, and He has breathed into the nostril the breath of life, they can also give the same drop of blood. That would not be us. That would not be satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ would not be satisfied with all that blood. We could have a 300-gallon drum full of nothing but blood. And I go and present that to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I don't want that. That's contaminated. That blood has been contaminated. That blood is just there. It has no purpose in it. But we can go back, I think it's either the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy, one or the other there. It speaks about the blood. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say? It says the life. Life is in the blood. If we don't have no blood, we don't have no life. We cannot stay alive on somebody just having us hooked up to a machine where the machine is just pumping blood continually all the time into our body. We cannot continue on like that. Why? Because we don't have the veins. We don't have the body that can sustain it that long. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He does. He has the right type of body. Paul prayed. And when Paul prayed, what happened? Things got done. Why? Because God the Father got them done. Why? Because I believe if there was, we know what the word says about David. The word says that in David's life, David's desire was to please the Lord. His desire was to please the Lord at all costs. He loved God so much. Paul did too. Paul's desire was to please the Lord. Paul's desire was to do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ asked him to do. Can the Lord Jesus Christ say the same thing about me? Can He say the same thing about you? That we're willing to do whatever He wants us to do. Sometimes we'll come and say, well, Lord, you know, if I go do that, you know, I don't know. If I go and visit them and I talk to them, I mean, they may have a gun. I'll go up to the door and I'll knock on the door and they come to the door. They can point that gun at me and they can shoot me. I'm giving excuses. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll come back and He'll tell me, He said, well, Donnie, don't you trust me enough that when you get down and when you get down and you knock on that door, don't you trust me enough to allow someone to come to the door without a pistol? I said, well, but Lord, you know, I don't know these people. I don't know what type of people they are. They may be on, they could be on heroin, they could be on alcohol, they could be completely out of this world. I don't know what's going to happen. He'll come back, small still boy. Don't you worry about it. I can stop that bullet if he fires that gun. I can stop that bullet. I can make sure that the firing pin won't fire.
As long as you do what I want, and not what you want. And he'll say, yeah, I know what you want. You want to be able to go there, and you want to have the opportunity to say, before you go up and knock on that door, that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be safe. You ain't going to have to worry about nobody coming to the door with a gun or anything like that. He said, but you don't need to worry about that. You let me worry about that. You just worry about going. And you worry about speaking to the people. Don't you worry about what may happen. Because it may not even happen. And I know y'all have heard this saying about worry. Had one elderly gentleman come up and he said, speaking about worry. And basically that's what he was preaching about. Is worry and pride and all of that. And he was trying to help the people to where they just would not worry about something that's not going to come to pass. He said, 90%, and he says, I'm probably a little low on that. He said, but I'm going to say 90%. 90% of the things that you worry about and I worry about never comes to pass. The other 10%, that's the reason it does come to pass. That's the reason you do have something to worry about. We need to ask the Lord to go with us and lead us and guide us and direct us. We don't need to worry about it at all. We don't need to worry about nothing because God has it in control. Now, for a long time, I didn't understand why I was going through some of the stuff that I was going through. When I was going there without a church there for a pretty good while. Oh, yes. I mean, I get back in my study and I start praying to God. I said, God, why? What's the reason? What have I done? Then the next thing I know, here come a daughter, my wife. They'd be coming back out. They'd knock on the door and they'd come on in. And I'd just be appalled. Because I was begging God. I was begging God to give me an answer. It won't give me the answer then. It won't the right time. You know the reason it won't the right time? Because God did not want to put me in a church where the people couldn't get along. Where they just come in and they just read anything and everything that they want to read. See, God knew my heart. He knows that the only thing I'm going to stand on is a King James Bible. He knows that I'm going to stand on this and I'm going to stay with it. I've had some good teachers in my lifetime that's taught me different things and different sayings. But I will never forget this.
from motor parts and equipment, from J.D., from Brother J.D. Carpenter, when he hired me. I went back in, I filled out the application, then I had to go talk to him. When I went back out to talk to him, he looked it over. And I don't know if I told you before, but he said this. One thing he asked me. The only thing he asked me, he didn't ask me what school, nothing. He didn't ask me nothing. But this one question. You know what it was? Do you make any mistakes? I got to thinking. And here I am now, just 16 and a half years old. And he's asking me that question. I said, I didn't know God back then. I said, you know something? That's got a trick. That is a trick question. So don't make no difference what kind of answer I get. It don't look like I'm going to be hired here. But if I answer yes, he gonna probably say ain't the right answer I wanted. And if I said no, it's not the right answer either. And I said to myself, I said, I'm in a losing situation. And I looked at him, I said, Mr. Carpenter, I says, I make mistakes every day. And I said, the biggest mistake that I've ever made was quitting school. You know what he told me then? He said, you show up in the morning at 8:00. He says, I don't want nobody to work for me that claims that they don't never make a mistake. He says, how can an individual learn if they don't make mistakes? He says, that's what we're here for. That's the reason I'm different. That's the reason you're different. Is because of that one reason. Because we have all got to learn what we can do and what we can't do. And I tell you, he's meant a whole lot to me. Danny Rode, he really has. Because he knew you talk about a wise man, he was wise. I've seen him that there, and I'm gonna close, I promise. I've seen him there down to business. And people would come in there and talk to him about equipment. It was one service station individual who just opened up a service station. And he had to have just about all new equipment. Even the individual before even took the hydraulic lifts out of the place. So he had to buy it all over. And he went to Mr. Carpenter and he said, Mr. Carpenter,
He says, I'm gonna open up a service station, but I've gotta have equipment to open it up with. I gotta have two lifts, two hydraulic lifts that goes in Florida. I gotta have this, I gotta have that, I gotta have this and that and other stuff.
Mr. Carpenter, he just...
Just sit down. Didn't say a word. He just continued sitting there. And then, it seemed like probably 10, maybe probably 15, 20, 30 minutes went by, something like that, but it hadn't been all that long. And the reason I know this is because I was back out with him, with the customer. Because I was one of the individuals looking up the parts and giving out the prices to him and everything. Mr. Carpenter told him this. He says, sir, I know that you say you've got the money, that you didn't have to go to town, go through no bank, you didn't have to borrow the money. He said, but I want to give you some advice. You can either take it or not. He said, but to go and to spend that much money on all the equipment, you're better off in the long term. Think about that. He said, the only reason I'm saying is because I have dealt with a bunch of individuals. Some individuals, they've had cash money, and they just put out $30,000, $40,000 like that. Can we go on and get the equipment? But then after 6, 7, 8 months, come back. They didn't make it. Why? Because everything was coming in. They didn't have to pay that. So what he said was, you're doing that, demanding him no obligations. Because all the equipment was paid for. What money he was getting in each month from the work that the mechanics had done and everything, yes, he had to pay the mechanic, had to pay the light bill, all that comes off of the top. He said, but he didn't have nothing else to fall back on. He said, you always need to have something to fall back on. Absolutely, you always need to have something to fall back on. I mean, that's just not for business. But that's wise for individuals, for family. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask God that you may just be with each and every one of us today, Father, as we leave the services today. Lord God, that you just help each one of us. Father, that way you have spoken to our hearts, Lord, we'll take it.
And yes, Father, we'll take it and we can chew on it. And yes, Father, we can swallow it and we can current the way it will be a nourishment to our inward soul. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you be with the people. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you just have the right of way within their hearts. Now, if they have anything at all on their heart this morning, we pray, Lord Jesus, they just come forward. Where you've spoken to them. In Jesus' name, amen.